Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Eye on the Community. I'm Vicki Pepper. While many things we use every day rely on fossil fuels for their manufacturing, many states are working on plans to switch over their energy use away from oil and gas and over to renewable energy sources. Could California make the full transition? Or what's holding it back? On the line with me is scientist and energy expert and author of Fueling America, Insider's Journey, Jack Kerfoot. Thanks for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be on your program, Vicki. Thank you for having me.
Jack, before we talk about California specifically, I'd like to ask, which states are going to be the first to achieve 100% renewable energy?
Well, there are three states that I think have a very good chance of achieving 100% renewable energy within the next 5 to 10 years. First one is Vermont. They're already at 99.8% electrical power from hydro and wind and solar. Second is Idaho at 85%, and their major utility has also committed to be 100% before 2045. But at the speed that they're moving, I expect that they will actually be 100% renewable by in the next 3 to 5 years at most. And the third one is New Mexico. They're not quite where California is, but 5 or 6 years ago, they had virtually no renewable energy, and now they're at 33%. And two additional things have given me confidence they're going to make that. First of all, they recognize that they have enough renewable energy. They've done a study to understand how much renewable energy they have, and they've recognized that they have enough power to not only generate 100% renewable energy for their state, but also to become an exporter of that energy and to be a new energy hub in this state. So I think with that and the commitment that their state utility has of being 100% renewable with the next 10 years, I think they are going to be one of the surprise candidates that are going to be moving rapidly from fossil fuels to clean, green, low-cost energy.
Where do you foresee the nation's new renewable energy centers?
Well, the answer to that is, first of all, on the West Coast, I think you're going to see Oregon, where I am, Washington State, and Idaho. We are rich in onshore and offshore wind, on hydro, on solar, and even geothermal. And we will be a major power producer for other states, like California. Then the next area will be New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma. They're already the dominant producers of wind energy, and they are currently building massive amounts of wind and solar parks right now in these states that will be major sources of power for the Great Plains states and even potentially further west. And the third area is off the east coast of the U.S. There's major building going on right now with offshore wind farms from Maine all the way down to North Carolina. And you will see in the next 5 to 6 years, they will be closing down coal plants and replacing those with offshore wind energy, which is more cost-effective than coal and also more reliable.
Why are some states slow to move from fossil fuels like coal, oil, and natural gas to renewable energy like wind and solar?
Well, the first thing we have to realize is a lot of the targets that states set, and each state has the ability to set a renewable energy target, are being set by legislators, and it's rare that you have any scientists in those states. And so they set the target and dust their hands and say, well, I've set the target. But they don't really start with the first step, which is how much energy do we actually have in our state? Can we really get to 100% renewable energy? And are there barriers to our state that will slow down the development of renewable energy. The renewable portfolio standard that some states have implemented to be 100%, only two or three of those states have actually taken the analysis to determine how do we get there and how do we get there very quickly and rapidly.
And what are some of the misconceptions about the costs of renewable energy?
There are several. First of all, the perception is it's expensive, but the reality is if you take out all incentives across the board, state and federal tax incentives and credits for all fuel types, the cheapest form of power, and this has been documented by private sector, by banks, the World Bank, and also the U.S. Department of Energy, is actually onshore wind. The average price is about 5.2 cents per kilowatt hour. The average price of electricity in July of this year was 13.2 cents a kilowatt hour, and the cost of power in California, your state, is over 20 cents per kilowatt hour. But after onshore wind, the next is solar at about 5.3 cents, followed by hydro, and then even with the drop in natural gas prices, natural gas is then the next cheapest form of power. Coal is probably two to three times the cost of onshore wind across the U.S.
A lot of coal workers are worried. For the states reliant on that industry, what does the phasing out of coal mean in terms of jobs?
Well, actually what it means is job security for them in the future. The coal mines, you have to realize, any fossil fuel is not renewable, and so when the coal mine runs out of coal, the jobs are lost. The same thing with oil and gas fields. When the field is produced and depleted, the field is closed in, and those jobs are gone. So what we're talking about now is the renewable energy industry, particularly the wind, has been actively recruiting people from the coal mines to come and work on wind farms across the United States. So these are high-paying jobs, and more importantly, they don't go away. As long as the wind blows and the sun shines, renewable energy jobs will last as long as humanity's on our Earth. So it's job security, and more importantly, it's clean, green energy for our nation.
I'm speaking with scientist and energy expert Jack Kerfoot. What are the job prospects in renewable energy then?
Well, actually, they're outstanding. The Department of Labor just recently issued a report, and the job that has had the most growth in the U.S. is actually wind energy technician. But actually, some renewable energy companies that are building these wind farms and some utilities are actually setting up training programs to try and fill the vacancies for this. For instance, in my state of Oregon, if we were to fully develop the renewable energy in our state, my estimate is it would create over 33,000 new permanent jobs with the onshore wind farms, the offshore wind farms, the solar parks, the geothermal projects, and it would literally create hundreds of thousands of construction jobs building these new facilities. So we're going through an energy transformation from fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas, to a new renewable energy or a new power grid, which is going to be based on renewables. And a lot of the jobs in the fossil fuel industry, like oil and natural gas, actually have been overseas. So it will allow us to bring those jobs and bring people in our country to full employment working in the new clean green energy industry.
Does the political climate have an impact on America's path in transitioning to renewable energy?
Well, of course, we have an outspoken president that says he digs coal and has been very negative about renewable energy. But the actual fact is, if we look at historically, let's say the last 15 years, both parties, Republican and Democrat, in the Great Plains states, predominantly Republican, and obviously on the East Coast and the West Coast, predominantly Democratic, have supported renewable energy. About the greatest difference that I can see is perhaps the approach to how do we implement the plan. The Republicans tend to look more for tax incentives and tax credits, where many of the Democratic states look at establishing a standard and then expecting the utilities that happen to be there to meet that standard in a period of time.
Why is it that Texas is the only state that has built its own transmission power line?
The simple answer is Texas knows energy. Texas has a long history of oil and gas industry, of oil and gas production, and so they really understand power systems and power energy. So in the 1970s, they established a nonprofit effectively overseen by the Public Utility of Texas, and they basically built that to make sure that they have energy security and that they can remove barriers for the development of new renewable or new energy power plants. And that is one of the reasons the state of Texas generates four or five times more onshore wind power than any other state in the U.S. They generate about 25% of the total wind power. So from that standpoint, it was very progressive in understanding that and how to manage that. When I lived in Houston 10 years ago, I could literally go online and choose my power provider from over 22 different power companies, and I can buy my electricity over a 3-month period, 6-month period, or a 12-month period. So they've encouraged competition, and so they have a significant number of utilities in the state that are competing constantly to deliver reliable, low-cost power, and these days, green power.
California Governor Gavin Newsom recently issued an executive order that all new cars must be zero emissions by 2035 and that all new medium and heavy-duty trucks be zero emissions by 2045. Jack, does California have the renewable energy sources to make this happen?
Well, right now, California generates about 47% of power from renewable energy, and they're already importing power from other states. They import power from Oregon. In fact, there was a major high power line that was laid in the 1970s from the Bonneville power plant in northern Oregon all the way down to Southern California. And to be honest, with the new legislation that's been passed by the governor, what he's going to effectively do is probably move California from the second largest in the amount of energy consumption to the largest state with energy consumption, because instead of using gasoline, which may be produced and refined in Texas and then shipped to California, they're now going to be plugging into the utilities that are going to need power. And so what I expect, the answer to the question is no, they won't. But the good news is they have Oregon, Idaho, and Washington further to the north who are already providing power and can generate cheaper power than what you're paying for right now from our state and provide jobs up in here in Oregon to maintain the lower cost power in the state of California.
After California closes its nuclear power plants, how can we achieve this zero carbon goal?
Well, the first step is there's still one coal-powered plant, and as an engineer scientist, you look at what you call moving down the hierarchy. And so the power plant, the fuel type of fuel that generates the most amount of carbon right now is coal, followed by gasoline and followed by natural gas. The move to electrification of transportation is a very good next step after closing the power plants and getting that up and running. The next factor is looking for ways to remove barriers to establish power lines and high lines to transport that power across the state. And then finally, progressing away from natural gas as your last resort. But it will take a full development of all the renewable energy resources, including the development of offshore wind. The strongest winds everywhere in the world are always offshore, and the strongest winds actually in the entire United States are in Northern California and Southern Oregon. So you'll need to develop and tie in offshore wind farms into the power grid in California to further increase the move to clean green energy. But it will be a challenge with the resources you have and obviously the power, the population you have in the state of California.
What other challenges does California face in moving over to renewable energy sources?
That's an excellent question. When we look at California, we've got to recognize that you do have PG&E, which is obviously struggling right now. They've gone into receivership. But obviously, you're also dealing with the fact that the climate has already begun to change, and the forest fires haven't become an occasional occurrence. They've become a routine occurrence. And if we actually look at the rainfall on the West Coast, we can see the rainfall on the entire West Coast has actually decreased. So we're going to have to be building power grid systems and building houses and communities. They're going to have to recognize that it is going to get warmer, it's going to get drier, and the potential risk of fire, forest fire, is unfortunately going to become a routine event. And the only thing that you see, if you look back the last 10 or 15 years on forest fires in California, is the number increased and the intensity is increasing. So that trend is unlikely to change unless we can dramatically drop our carbon greenhouse gas emissions.
I've been speaking with scientist and energy expert and author of Fueling America Insider's Journey, Jack Kerfoot. Jack, how can people get your book and get more information on renewable energy?
Well, I blog on my website, Jack Kerfoot, JACKERFOOT.com. The name of the website is Our Energy Conundrum, answering or trying to address the many questions that you asked today. And on there, there's a link to Amazon.com, and you can get it in paperback or you can get it in Kindle format.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Vicki, it was a true pleasure. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.